It means much this morning to be on a firm foundation. The songwriter said that his hope was built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. He would dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Said, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. As you look out in the world today, as you look in your own life experience, I believe each one can attest to the fact that anything else has proven to be sinking sand. Yes. And as we look into the Word this morning, we'd like to consider the rock. A lot of people in the world today are looking for stability in their own life. They're looking for security. They're looking for something that won't change. We are in a world that seems to be always changing. And a lot of times people say, well, things are changing and we must change too. But we find that there's one thing in this world that won't change. There's one thing in this world that will always be there. There's one thing that we can look upon, and it will always give us our bearing and our direction in life if we will rely upon it. And that is Christ, the rock. In 1 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, or the third chapter, rather, excuse me, looking at the 10th verse, we began to consider what Paul had to say and realize that there is a part that we play in this firm foundation. As we look here, he has this to say. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Here we begin to see the writer let us know that God had entrusted him as an apostle to be a chief master builder, to help lay a foundation that will last down through the ages. Yes. And it is still lasting today. Yes. There have been a lot of people who have made attacks upon that foundation. The devil himself is doing all he can to erode it. But when this world is finally called to an end, that foundation will still yet be there, sound, solid, and uncracked. Yeah. As we go along the way, let us consider what we're looking at. And here he points out that after having laid this foundation, that there would be others who would build thereupon. Now we can look at it from this point, that he's giving warning to those who are ministers and servants of God, to those who are teachers, that they be careful what they build upon this foundation, knowing that others are going to depend upon this and will be coming later on to build upon it as well as this thing continues on. And as we look there, we begin to see that there is a grave responsibility placed upon those who are entrusted with this same type of care, and so they're going to have to use those things that he points out as gold, as silver, as precious stones. In other words, they're going to have to use those sound, solid principles that God has shown forth in his word. They're going to have to use those doctrines that will keep people sound and settled as they go along life's pathway. They also have a choice. They can use the wood. They can use the hay and the stubble. They can use those things that they themselves mix in that are not based on God's word. And if they do so, they're going to come to realize that as they put forth those things that are not in accordance with his will, those things will be burned out. They'll be shown to be false. They'll be shown to be unsubstantial as they go along the way. But as we consider that, let us look at it in this way as well. Too many people want to lay everything down at the preacher's feet, want to lay it all up on the Sunday school teachers. Just bring their family there and let them take care of it. And then when I go back home, I'll just wait until the next service shows up. But here, as we consider this, it is for you and I as individuals, as those who are trying to live for the Lord, to be just as concerned as to what we are building thereupon. What are we actually putting within the building as we go along life's pathway? Because we are just as responsible as all the other leadership to do those things that are pleasing in God's sight, and to use those gold and precious stones, that silver that has been refined with all the dross purged out. We too have that same responsibility to build upon this rock in such a way that we can truly answer, as the songwriter did, and find in our own lives that everything else that man chooses to build upon is sinking sand, and nothing else will stand as we go along life's pathway. He lets us know here that as we consider this, that every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. When we consider this here, you and I can go along life's pathway. We can do a lot of things, but don't you know there's going to come a day when those things that we have built in our own house are going to be revealed, not only in the last day, but in the very days that we're living in. We're going to meet some trials and tests that are going to put us on display, and others are going to be able to see just what kind of house we're building as we go along life's way. Not only that, but our children are going to be looking on those around us. And if you and I are running out, picking up the hay and the wood and the stubble to build our building with, what kind of an example will that leave for them? Many of them will grow up thinking that if mother and father could use this, then it must be all right. So I'm going to build my house in the same way, and as a result, lose their souls. You and I have a grave responsibility as we go along the way. Every man's work is going to be tried by fire. If any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Many people in the world today are looking at things from the standpoint of, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of it? Well, here's an opportunity where you and I can look at it and realize there's much in it for us. And if we'll build as he instructs us to build, we're going to receive a reward. But also, we take note there that if we build in a way that not in accordance with his word, we shall find that we're going to suffer loss, because that building, when it's tried, will not be able to stand the storms, will not be able to take the heat, and it'll be consumed at the time we're wanting to find shelter in it the most as we go along the way. All as we consider it there, we must look upon the foundation that we're building upon. I thought about an instance there on the plant where we were working. Young man had a project and was going to build this building, and so they laid the foundation, and the inspector had to come out and look at all the rebar, make sure everything was just right. But when he came and looked at what was going to be the foundation for that building, he just shook his head, because as he looked at it, he realized this foundation had been set up in such a way that it went far beyond what he required, he began to realize, and he made a statement to him in this fashion, that this place will be here when everything else is gone. You and I need to have the same attitude as we go along life's pathway, that we'll do whatever the Lord would have us to do to lay a firm and a sound, solid foundation. In other words, have it there in such a way that when everything else is gone, that building and that house will still be right there standing strong by the help of the Lord. Over in 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, let us take a look at verses 17 through 19. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Here Paul was giving Timothy some encouragement and some counsel in how to deal with those who were blessed with worldly riches, to have them to see that they were not to feel like they were especially blessed above all others because they had temporal blessings, but that they were to realize that they should not place their trust in those things. They should realize that I'm just a steward. I'm supposed to distribute this as God would have it to be done, to be a help and a benefit to others, instead of being rich so much in the worldly things and in the earthly goods. He lets us know here they are to be instructed to do good, to be rich in good works. In another place, he tells us to learn to do well. In other words, let us get ourselves in a position where we're willing to learn, being able to be teachable as we go along life's pathway. Let us get into a position where we'll learn to search for excellence in the things of God, where we'll learn to do those things that we ought to do as we go along life's way, that we may find some real, true, eternal riches and be rich in that way, that we might lay up for ourselves a good foundation that will serve us against the time to come, that we may truly lay hold on eternal life. Too many people are in the world today professing to be saved, and yet, as the sister said yesterday, got the attitude that, oh, this little bit here will do. I feel like this is good enough. And I've even found that when you try to encourage them to go on a little further, to do a little better, when you're able to see they've got a little more talent on hand that they could use for the Lord, they're quick to let you know that this is as good as it ought to be, and I don't see why I have to do any better. But as you and I go along life's pathway, it's not for us to accept a mediocre experience. We ought to search for excellence in the things of God. We ought to learn to do things well. They have to say, once a task is begun, 'tis not finished till it's done. Whether the task be great or small, do it well or not at all, as you and I go along life's pathway, it behooves us. And when you consider that our spiritual life is going to be determined by the foundation that we build upon, you and I need to put the utmost importance on putting a foundation down that has been built well and will receive the stamp of excellence as we go along life's pathway. Too many people are just kind of shirking along. Oh, this is good enough. And when things get tight, I'll ride on brother so-and-so's experience. I'll go lean on sister so-and-so. But what are you going to do when sister so-and-so is gone? When brother so-and-so's not around, it's for you and I to have something that will hold us against the time to come. There'll be those places where, to use the term, it's do or die. You're either going to make it or you're not. You and I must have something that will hold us in good stead with the Lord, that when those times come, we can always be on the doing side and keep on pressing on for Him as we go along the way. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, looking at verses 24 through 27, He gives us some more counsel here, gives us an example that we can clearly understand Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall like be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. As you and I go along life's pathway, everyone in the world, it seems, want to be someone considered to be wise. You begin to tell someone they're not wise, and they feel insulted. If you and I are not following the things of God, if we're not taking heed to the word that He has spoken unto us, then we're likened as the foolish man who built his house upon the sand, did not put a foundation upon it. If anyone were to build a house in that way today, I don't believe there's a one here who could see the folly of doing that, because there's nothing there to hold it together. The foundation is there to hold the house steady and in place, to hold the corners and the walls in place so they won't give out, to give them something to press against, to hold up against the storms. If we build upon the sand, the sand begins to shift and move depending on what's taking place. If the storm comes, the sand is washed away, and then the house doesn't have anything to work against in order for it to stand. Therefore, it just gives out and collapses. Each one, if we had the opportunity today, and I told you we'd have a piece of land, I'll build you a house, but I won't put a foundation there. Don't believe I can find anyone who would want to take me up on that offer. But when we look here, those who hear the sayings of the Lord, who doeth them, Christ Himself said, I will liken him unto a wise man which built a house upon the rock. When the rains came, when the floods came, when the winds were blowing, when it beat upon the house, it fell not. He was able to stay there and dwell within, knowing that that house was going to be secure. Over in Luke, the 6th chapter, He gives us the same example, but He brings out something else here. Looking at the 47th verse, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid a foundation on the rock. Here at this point, we find that not only did he build this foundation, but first of all, he dug down deep. When we do some digging, sometimes we're going to find some things down there that we didn't realize were there before, and it'll take some extra work to get them dug out. But we see here, this man dug down deep, got down to the rock, and then began to lay his foundation. Here it says, the floods arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house, and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Over there in the lands of Judea, where Christ lived, they have 2 rainy seasons, and when the rain comes, it beats down upon the place in torrents. As you look upon that, it fills up the rivers and floods the place, and everything that is not substantially built is washed away. As you and I go along life's pathway, we're going to meet some rainy seasons in our own lives where the rains will beat down, the winds can blow. I don't know how the winds blow around here, but sometimes at home, the winds get to blowing upwards towards 100 miles an hour. You can hear the houses kind of creak and groan, and yet in all the wind, they're able to stand there and be there after the winds have left, because they're founded upon the rock. You and I are going to be in those places where the winds may really begin to blow, may meet those places where the floods are beating up against the house. But we are in a place, if we built upon the rock, where our house will stay there and we'll be able to stay within that shelter that God has provided. But he that heareth these sayings and doeth it not is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth, against which all of these things did beat, and the ruin of that house was great. We don't realize sometimes just what's taking place to keep that house and building established. But when you look at the walls and the trusses up in the ceiling, they are all there working together, and they can press against that foundation. Those forces will work and counteract each other to where it can stay standing as they go along the way. You and I must have something to where when we have to press against the wind, where we have to stand against the flood, when we have to take all the beating, we'll have something that we can press against, and that is that sound, solid foundation. When we're able to press against it, we'll be able to stand. Without the foundation, it's much like when you're out in the wintertime and you have the snows and the car gets stuck and the mud is all there, and you try to press against that mud to push the car out, but you can't hardly do it because there's nothing to work against. As you and I go along life's pathway, if we built a house without a sound, solid foundation, we're like trying to stand in the mud, and we just can't accomplish it as we go along the way. All as we considered in this day and time, there's many of people who are building a house, and it looks like it's pretty great, and yet sometimes when you look around again, you hear someone ask the question, well, have you seen brother so-and-so? Have you seen sister so-and-so? No, I haven't seen them. Oh, I thought they were doing so well. What took place there? Somebody may not have been building upon the rock in the way that they should. People sometimes get caught up with how the house looks, and oh, it looks so nice. You don't find too many people that when they buy a house, go looking around to check the foundation to see what kind of shape it's in. But as you and I go along life's pathway, we must start at the very bottom, if you will. Look at what we've got and build up from there as we go along the way. Oh, as we consider it there, the Lord has all the materials necessary for us to build a sound and solid house if we'll only do so. One of the things I've considered at home, I don't know just what all the weather's like out here, but at home we sometimes have to deal with the tornadoes. And as we consider that, I've thought about it from time to time. There's a store not too far from where we live. And when people begin to hear that there's the possibility of tornadoes, I've taken note that when you come by that store, the parking lot seems to be full. People are getting supplies. If they feel like there's a major snowstorm coming and they begin to predict you're going to have 10 or 11 inches of snow, well, when it gets that deep around Kansas, then that just about shuts everything down. So people run to the stores. You'll see them in there buying. Their baskets are full. What are they doing? They're getting supplies and getting ready to where if they're shut in, they've got everything they need on hand to sustain them until the snow has been removed and they're able to get out again. As you and I go along life's pathway, there is no doubt that we will meet some storms. We may meet some tornadoes. We may meet some floods. Sometimes we may even run into some snowstorms where it seems like we're shut in and we can't get to anyone else. But as we consider that, knowing that those things will take place, it behooves you and I to begin to consider that we need to get us some supplies on hand as we go along life's pathway. In Psalms, the 62nd chapter, looking at verses 1 and 2 and then dropping down to verse 5, he says, "Truly my soul waiteth upon God. From him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. My soul wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us." Selah. Here we consider that this psalmist began to realize his confidence, his trust, his faith was in God. The supply he had was that God was his salvation, coming forth from that very rock, something that will hold him steady. He was his defense. And as we look here, he went on to say, trust in him at all times. As we go along life's pathway, you and I need to find that place where we can trust in him at all times. Begin to realize that we can pour out our heart to him. As we go along the way, the writer said that he was a personal savior. As you go along life's pathway, you might tell someone else what's troubling you, and somehow it doesn't seem that they're able to feel it quite the way that you feel it. Sometimes it doesn't seem that we can even get it across to them as to just what we feel at that point in time. But you and I have a place where we can go and pour out our heart unto God and come away from there feeling that he is my salvation. He's my strength. He'll be my defense. I've been in those places where you begin to wonder, well, Lord, what shall I do? What are people going to say? And finally came to a point where I began to say, Lord, if you want it brought out in whatever way, then I'll just stay with you. Let it be brought forth. And as you fill my mouth, he is a refuge for us. Use the word Selah. In other words, that word means to pause, to quietly consider, to think upon what has just been said, to meditate upon it, to feed upon it, to draw strength from it, to realize now that we've got something that will hold us steady as we along life's pathway. Oh, as we build this house, the first thing that we need to supply ourselves with is salvation. Life's pathway will have something that will keep us on hand. The songwriter says something along the line that all his grace is free as the air we need. We may each have a full supply if we will obey and his word believe. He'll prepare us that home on high. As we go along life's pathway, you and I can have a full measure of grace. The songwriter said grace that will keep us in every way, grace that will take us every mile. And when we see we've got to go further, there'll be new grace. When we have to go on another step, as you and I go along this way, we have something that we can have right there in the cupboards. Sometimes you can look in the refrigerator and realize there's not much here. Can look up in the cupboards and don't see anything that you want. But as you and I go along life's way, as we build this house for the Lord, we can have something in store in the cupboards to where they're always full. When we find that we need that extra measure, we can go there and put in for it and get a full supply. It used to be that in our neighborhood as we were growing up, maybe some of the wives in the halls would find if they were running short, and so they would send the children, mother wants to know, can I borrow half a cup of sugar? May I borrow just one egg? Just one to finish what I'm doing. As you and I go along life's pathway, we may find that we're in those places, and yet as we looked at it in a natural sense, maybe the people would have one egg to give them. Sometimes they say, well, I've just used my last one. Go and talk to Mrs. So-and-so and see if she has one. But as you and I come before the Lord, he doesn't have to send us away to anybody else. As we put it in, as we put forth our cups, as we lift it up to him, we can truly say, as the writer said, fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Bread of heaven, feed me till I want no more. Fill my cup. Fill it up and make me whole. We can have that full measure. Everyone here could go before the Lord at the same time, begin to pour out their heart and tell the Lord what their needs were, and he can come along and fill each one to overflowing and still yet have it shown unto us that we haven't even begun to draw down what he has in store for his people. You and I can have a full supply of whatever it is we stand in need of as we go along life's pathway. In Psalms the 31st chapter, there at the first verse, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Here we have something else that we can have within our house.
one who will lead us and guide us as we go along life's pathway. Here we find that he was putting his trust in the Lord. Let me never be ashamed. Let me never be disappointed. Let me live in such a way that when we call upon your name, you'll be moved with tender compassion and you'll deliver us in your righteousness. Oh, we ask the Lord, bow down thine ear to me and deliver me speedily. I'm in a place where I've got an urgent need, and I'm looking to you, Lord, to come forward on hand. Be that strong rock that you have always been. Be a house of defense for me. Sometimes we don't seem to hardly know how to defend ourselves, but God is able to defend us in a way that confounds men as we go along life's pathway. If you and I will put in for it, he'll be that lead. He'll be that guide. He'll provide us what we need as we go along the way. Surely the Lord is able to bless us and keep us as we travel along. Over in Psalms, the 81st chapter, we see something else here that the Lord is able to supply us. Starting there at the 8th verse, "Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee. O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me, there shall no strange god be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange god. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. I gave them up into their own heart's lust. They walked in their own counsels. All that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned mine hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. He should have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied thee." Here we find the Lord giving the exhortation to the children of Israel, letting them know if they will hear his voice, if they will hearken unto him, if they wouldn't have any strange gods before him, he established unto them that I am the Lord thy God. I am the one who brought you out of Egypt. I am the one who brought you out with a high hand. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. When the children of Israel, at the time the death angel had come through that land, the people there in Egypt begin to cry out to get on out. Take everything you've got. But not only did they let them take everything that they had, they gave them of their own household. They gave them gold and silver. They gave them many things. Here, take it all and just get on out. The Lord blessed them in a special way where they'd been in the land in subjection, didn't have much on hand maybe. Here these people were giving them all that they had. Just take it and leave this land. Oh, as we go along life's pathway, if we'll stay with the Lord, we can open our mouths wide and he will fill it. We find here that he let them know that if they were to do this, this is how he would bless them. But we see here that Israel would have none of his counsels. They turned down God's ways and his doings. They went forth in their own ways and would not follow his word. But we see here that it prolonged some things that they had to suffer. If the people had hearkened unto him and had walked in his ways, he would have soon subdued their enemies and turned his hand against their adversaries. He would have fought for them. He would have subdued the people that they needed to conquer. But because they went in their own way, because they would not build up on the rock in the way that they should, they missed out on these various blessings. As you and I go along life's pathway, we should consider that if we'll follow him, if we'll build up on the rock in the way that he has instructed us to, then he'll bless us. Even as he says here, he should have fed them also with the finest of wheat. Wheat was one of their staple foods at that time, something they depended upon highly. And as we look here, the Lord would have fed them with the finest of it, and with honey out of the rock would he have satisfied them. I've thought about it from time to time. When you consider some of the lives they lived back there, it seemed like they found honey in some of the funniest places, looked like to me. But I guess that's because I'm used to seeing bees living in the beehive or something. But yet, when you consider the history of the place, it was a place that had a lot of caves, a lot of jagged areas, and the bees in that area would actually build their combs right there in the cleft of the rock. And here we find that as people would travel along, they could find some of the purest honey in those places. The Lord was letting them know that He would have fed them honey out of the rock, out of Christ Jesus Himself, would have provided them such sweet blessings that if they had followed Him, they would have been able to experience some things that they never got to experience as you and I go along life's pathway, as we find ourselves between that proverbial rock and the hard place. Those are places that if you and I begin to look, begin to call upon the Lord, He'll show us where the honey is, that we might get it out of that hard trial of test. And instead of it being something that will cast us down, it can be something that will lift us up and help us as we go along life's pathway. Oh, as we consider today, what kind of house are we building? What kind of land are we building upon? Is it the land that is occupied by the rock Christ Jesus Himself, or is it something out there that the writer considered to be sinking sand? Consider the thoughts of this song that so amply describes the lives of so many people even yet today. The writer said, I started out to build the house of my dreams on life's shifting sand, and with no thought of the wind or rains that would come, with haste I began. I gathered pleasures of every kind, all the thrills that I could find, till at last the house of my dreams was finally mine. How many people in the world today have you seen that all they're out for is all of the thrills that they can find in life? If something's not happening, as they said, if it's not a whole lot of commotion going on, then they feel like that everything is just getting kind of dry and boring, and they're not doing anything. And you find some, they'll let you know, well, all you do is go to church. Man, that's just boring. Don't you get tired of that? Well, they don't know where the honey comes from. But as we look here, we find that it says He done built the house of His dreams. Oh, if we go out and build what we think we ought to have, don't you know we're going to have everything in it that we don't need as we go along life's way. Going on further, he said, I was so proud of the house that I had built. I wanted all to see just what I had made out of my life. It looked so good to me. Until one day when the rain began, from my house I quickly ran in time to see my shattered dreams fall to the sand. He began to realize some things here now, that his building wasn't so good. What he thought looked so good, and he wanted everybody to see, and you find people that way, well, look at what I've accomplished. I'm this, and I'm that, and I've got the other, and I'm Dr. So-and-so. Well, as we go along life's pathway, there's nothing wrong with getting a PhD, but when you do those things, be sure that you keep it all in subjection and under the Lord's hand, because without that, it's just a bunch of titles that people have bestowed upon others to feel good about, and doesn't really mean a thing. I found that some of those with PhDs are some of the nuttiest people you ever run into, and so it's really not a whole lot to be bragging about as they go along the way. Now listen to the turnaround. So now I'm building again, but not as before. My foolish dreams are gone. I found it's not so important the house that you build, but what you build it upon. And now I've found me a rock that's sure, it shall forevermore endure. Through every storm of life, I'm sheltered, safe and secure. And now I'm building on the rock, upon the solid rock, the rock that shall forevermore endure. So let the storm clouds rise, the strong winds blow, let the rains come and go, for in Jesus I am safe, for in Jesus I am safe. For in Jesus I am safe, safe evermore. Here he came to realize it wasn't so much the house he built, but what he built it upon. And the point I get to on that is that if we're building upon the rock, we're going to have a set of plans contained in God's Word that will tell us just what kind of house we're going to build. We don't have to be worried about whether it will stand the storms of life. We don't have to be worried about whether it's going to be thoroughly furnished, because he lets us know that he wants to bring us to a place where we are thoroughly furnished under every good work. So if you and I will follow this plan, we can rest assured that when we completed the work, not only will it be something that will keep us safe, but it'll be something that God himself can smile upon. Something that will keep us safe forevermore. When I consider that from time to time, as I think about that song, it seems like maybe people might feel like he's boasting there when he says, let the storm clouds rise, all go ahead, and let the storm strong winds blow. But he came to realize through that blessed assurance that he had something that was going to keep him safe as he went along life's pathway, something that was substantial, something that the devil could not blow over, something that the trials and storms of life could not tear down, something that he could rest in and sweetly rest as he goes along life's pathway. He could be, as the songwriter said, praise God, I live in Beulah land. My house will all the storms withstand. It is not built on sinking sand. My home is on the rock. Oh, when trials come that would appall, when other clouds plus other buildings around my pathway fall, I rest in Christ my all in all, knowing that my home is on the rock. You and I can have something that will keep us right now today when everything around you seems to be changing. People will sometimes come by and they'll kind of let you know, you seem so calm, you seem so reserved, don't seem like anything bother you. Well, they just don't know. There are those things that you and I have to deal with that sometimes bother us to a certain degree, but to bother us to the point that we don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. Those things can bother us in that way. And even if we meet something that seems to overwhelm us, we can get into the secret hiding place and the closet within that same house, begin to pour out our heart unto the Lord, and he raises up that defense that keeps us as we go along life's pathway. What kind of a house are we building, and where is it being built at? Oh, as we go along the way, sometimes people don't really stop to consider that either. They'll put a good foundation, but if it's down there where you're going to flood it all out, then it's not in the right place. Amen. This rock is up on the hill where the waters can get to it, and when they come by, the Lord is able to keep us as we go along the way. May each one be encouraged to build upon the rock. Don't ever quit building upon the rock. You and I can mix in a little wood and a little hay, but have you ever thought about it? Wood and hay and those kind of things, they just don't mix with concrete. They just don't work. And as we go along life's pathway, let us do those things that are necessary to have a sound, solid foundation, one that will keep us when we go along life's pathway. Pray for me.